We thank God all the time for what he's done. I mean, we could all list all the things he's done. And we go on praising him for who he is, right? Yesterday, all our years, today. But I know in my life, there's a part I neglect or I don't put a lot in my prayer life, and it's the forever part. Right? Thank God for yesterday, today, well, what about forever? God, I thank you for all the things you've done. You brought me out of death to life. I thank you for your mercy and grace today that I could be here. But how much do you thank him for what he will do? Well, it's going to happen. Right? Oh, that's a lot. Thank you. Come on, let me get there's a water over here. Thanks. Okay. It's all right. Once the tears go, they'll come back a little bit now and then, but just got to break that barrier. But today, it's really about what's going to happen and what you're going to do about it. Before we get in, if there's anything on your heart right now that isn't centered in God, don't look around, just self-evaluate. If you come here with motives that aren't for God, perhaps they're for, I'm used to speaking to the youth, perhaps they're for your parents, I ask you to reevaluate them. If they're for your peers, if they're for respect, if they're for face, let's go to God, just humbled before him, with nothing else in mind. Lord, I want to thank you for today. Holy Spirit, I pray you would come down like fire. Like you did in the Church of Acts. Lord, I pray that each person come to you with a soft heart, a sincere mind that isn't hardened, that isn't focused elsewhere. Lord, I pray that your very word would save. I pray the one thing that people get out of this isn't awesome music or isn't a great message. I pray that it'd be like Acts, where people just can't get enough of how great a God you are. That be the only thing that stands in our heart, in our mind. Lord, renew us, refresh us, point us towards the future. Point us towards what you will do, the promise that you have given us, the very thing we hope for, the good news in our hearts. May we listen. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so, before we talk about the second coming, some people might not even know what the second coming is. So, really fast recap of something that isn't so fast. God himself came down as a person to die for your sin. Oh, and for us who already know, just let it be a reminder. Okay. He died for the very thing you earned, you deserved. And God Almighty came, King of Kings, he came to serve and to be a ransom. Mark 10. But that you could partake in divine nature with him. Okay, you could be with him. So he went through this life. He went preaching. He went telling people. He ended up being crucified. Before he was crucified, he told them, I'm going to be coming back. There's going to be a day I'm going to come back. Coming down from heaven. Not as a baby. Not coming back as his earthly human form. But as in my glorious form. So he went off to be crucified. He resurrected. He took the wrath of God, the justice that God had to fulfill. He put on his own son. He came back. He revealed himself to his apostles, the people. And there the truth was known. Their eyes were made open. They understood what he was talking about. Then he ascended back to heaven. And so, from then to this day, we still wait for that second coming. Okay, so, hopefully that kind of clears some things up. But for us, are you at peace right now? If he walked through that door, or this door, or came through the ceiling, are you ready? Would you, or do you have a bucket list, you know? Like, a bucket list is something before you die, they call it, before you kick the bucket. It's a list of things that you want to get done in your life, right? Do you sit here with a bucket list saying, if he comes in right now, I'm in trouble because I have a list of 5 things to do, right? You may be even refining. You're like, okay, groceries after church I may cross off because there are 4 other things that are more important than the groceries, right? Do you have a bucket list, or are you ready to go right here, right now? And this was so convicting. I was like, right now I'm not. And, man, a lot of times you sit there, you're going, I'm glad God didn't come back. I want you to think about just maybe even the past week or today, where you're glad God did not come back. Even the week, the year, you could play it back in your head. Man, there's this time, this and this. I'm glad he didn't come back. Perhaps you saw a person in need and you were convicted. I know the word. I know what the word says. What you do for the least of these, you do for me. You look at them, you walk by. I'm glad God didn't come back that day. Because I imagine seeing them walking past, and then there's Christ standing right in front of me. I'd be so convicted. Like, I know what I should have done. Play in the back and go, man, what mercy do you stand in today? Knowing this, right? One of my favorite pastors, authors, he shares a story about this lady in his church, and they went to a play, and she was like, you know, just like, let's just say it's the Nutcracker. They went to the Nutcracker, and she's like, I can't sit here and watch this, you know. And he's like, what's the problem? And he said, if Christ comes, I don't want to be found here just watching a play. I'd rather be serving. I'd rather be praying for you and your family. I'd rather be doing something for the lost, but not sitting here watching a play. And he was convicted by it. He's a pastor too. He was convicted by it. He's like, man, like she takes the word so literally, so seriously. Like she lives by the word. And I'm a pastor of thousands and thousands. Why aren't I doing this? He said he couldn't watch the rest of it. He just said he sat there and prayed. If God came, this is how I'd want him to find me. You know, do we live with that mindset? Do we walk every day? Do we go through every conversation? Do we look at people with a mindset that, man, God would be proud to find me thinking these things, doing these things, being where I'm at, you know? Not collecting my crops on Facebook, right? Like, I feel like, oh, if he caught me, like, clicking all these squares, collecting my corn, I don't think he'd be very happy, right? And even things that, okay, I don't want to go too far. Okay, so, sorry. So we take that as a reminder. If you have your Bible, we'll turn to Matthew 24. And this is where Jesus talks about his second coming a little bit. 24:36. 24:36. He says, no one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. It was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with the handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Just sticking with that real quick. First off, nobody knows. Not even Jesus knows. Only the Father knows. None of the angels, none of the servants, no people here. Only the Father knows when. Okay? Nobody knows. Are you ready? Are you going to live as if ready? And he says it's going to be the day, it's going to be like in the days of Noah. And this is what I love about this. He says, in the days of Noah, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. And here's the thing. When we're around that playback, I'm sure you thought of, at least for me, either being convicted of the word or living in my sin and being convicted, saying, I'm glad he didn't come while I was living in my sin. But here he lists things like eating and drinking and marrying, not even sins, right? Just living. Even marriage, this holy ceremony, the sacrament, to display the relationship of God with us. He says he's going to come in a day like that. Are you going to be ready? Do you eat thankfully? Do you drink thankfully? Right? Like, it goes into every bit, small bit of your life. Do you do so in praise of God? Right? So he says it's going to be day in the days of Noah, and two men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women grinding with a handmill. One will be taken, and the other left. I think what's crazy and what's sad about this is that you could look around and be like, one of you are going to be here, and one's going to be gone. If Christ came, you know, it's just like, here, gone, here, gone, here, gone. He goes, one here, one gone. You go to work, your co, here, gone. Your classmate, here, gone, right? When I was working at the Children's Center, half the people there are from our church. But then, when you walk in, there's a picture of all the teachers. You could be like, here, gone, here, gone. And we know this. So he goes, 42. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have left his house broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Right? An hour you don't expect. Again, you play that back. You know you have another opportunity in the future. And you know when you face your sin, you know you have a choice. You're probably convicted of the truth before you make that choice. Be ready when you're unexpected, right? And in this part, and again, this is Christ saying all these things. Straight out of God's mouth, right? Anyone who here considers himself a servant, first of all, before I read this next part? Oh, I got one hand. Amen. Servant of God. Who else is here a servant? You have one servant? Yeah, yeah. Oh, don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed to raise that hand. Hey, scoffers will come. Don't be ashamed. Okay. We got three servants. I know there's more servants in here, but, you know, I'm going to punch you up. But here, this is for the servants. And for me, another, like, man. He goes, who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? Amen. Talking about spiritual food. It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. And we know of the great inheritance that awaits us in that relationship with Christ and a new heaven, a new earth, living in righteousness. In 48, he says, but suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time. And then he begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. And he will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. No joke. God is no joke, right? He did not butter that one up at all. No rounded edges, no nothing. Okay, if I went up to you and I said, here, do this, and when I come back, if I don't see you doing it, I'm going to chop you into little pieces, right? Like, you watch those mafia movies, and they're like, you know, chop them up into pieces, throw them, you don't know where the body is. God's going to, like, wow, you know, Jesus loves me, he saved me, and then he goes, you don't do it, I'm going to chop you into pieces when I come back, and I'm going to throw it, and you're going to be gnashing your teeth, like, it's not going to be fun, right? And again, this is out of Christ's mouth. I think it goes to show just how dead serious he was, right? I mean, and that shows his love too. If we don't, I mean, if I didn't love you, I'd probably be like, yeah, you know, it won't be so bad. Hell is not so bad. You know, it's not going to be like you're going to get chopped up into pieces and thrown in hell. You know, it's not, you know, no big deal. But then Christ is like, let me tell you something because I love you. I'm going to come back on a day where you're not ready. Or will you be ready with the day that you're not expecting it? Do I really have to chop you up into pieces, right? And again, I don't think it's something to take lightly. And for me, until I read that, I was like, whoo, I'm going to get back to getting ready for the sermon, you know? Just getting back to God. But just getting into the seriousness of things, okay? We go to 2 Peter, today's scripture. 2 Peter 3, 1 through 13. Peter writes, dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the commands given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. So same thing, exact same thing I'm doing to you right now, right? Let me give you this reminder to stimulate your wholesome thinking. Let me remind you of what God promised, what he said he's going to do. He said he's going to come back. He said you better be ready. He said, if you're not ready, I'm going to chop you up into little pieces, right? On the recording, this is going to sound nuts. But, yeah. And he says, I want to remind you and stimulate your wholesome thinking, you know? If you weren't thinking wholesomely, let the truth convict you and then be like, oh, bring me back to the Word. Bring me back to God, right? Isn't that so true? You're not even caught up in sin. Just caught up in eating and not being in praise of God. Not being thankful for the things you have, right?
to return you back to wholesome thinking. He says, and I want to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the commands given by our Lord. That was straight out of Christ's mouth. That's his command. Be ready, right? So he goes, first of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming, he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. Scoffers will come, no doubt, okay? That's it. Scoffers will come. You got to kind of live with that. The question is, do the scoffers get to you enough that you don't share with people? Right? Does the mocking, does the teasing, does the... I'll tell you a little bit later, but... Does it get to you to the point where it shuts your mouth? Where you stop sharing? Or how about this? When you hear a sermon and you're convicted of the truth that I need to be ready, he could come right now. He could come after this. He could come sometime this week. And then he doesn't come. Sometimes you say to yourself, everything's the same. You become your own scoffer, right? Nothing has happened. I thought he was going to come. I had this hope that he was coming, and he didn't show up. Right? Have you become your own scoffer in that sense? Have you literally shut your own mouth? Again, they will say, where is this coming, he promised, ever since our fathers died? Everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. The sun comes up in the morning, the sun sets. I see the moon, the stars, right? I go to school again, like all this is the same. Some people pass away, but the galaxy keeps going. Right? Where is he? When's he going to come? Don't psych yourself out, please. Don't lose sight. In 5, he says, but they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. And by these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. Another Noah reference. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of the ungodly men. Again, he's talking about the second coming. But this is the big thing that I love about it. We talk about this, they call it natural law, right? Sun goes up, sun goes down, all these observances we see happen over and over. Gravity, right? But Peter writes, he says, these things come from the word of God. These things hang on the hinge of God's word, right? It is only the fact that these keep going because of his word. And in fact, if he didn't say it that way or that so, it wouldn't be like that. You see what I'm saying? I do this all the time with the people I talk to. Like, he spoke the world into existence, like earth, and then there's the earth, right? Like, that's how easy it is. And that's just how mighty God is. So by his very word, these things keep happening. And then they just forget. And they deliberately block out from... Man, and it breaks my heart every time. Deliberately just don't come with an open heart and a sincere mind. And he says, 8, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Man, God is patient. He waited 20 years for me. Right. A lot of you. Again, going back, I'm glad God didn't come, 4 years ago. He surely convicted me of the truth before then. I pray that you would have the same patience for other people as God had in your life. And this is the thing. A day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day. You have to understand that God is neither created nor is he going to end. Yet we're created and, we're not going to end. You go on living either in heaven and hell in the end. Right? But he's not even created. So how do you even give him a time span? Like, we have this start point. He doesn't have a start point. And Peter's trying to tell you, your perspective of time is so different from God's. My perspective of time is so different from yours. I'm up here going, there's not enough time on this clock, right? And you guys are going, man, this sermon's taking forever, right? Our perspective of time is different. And as you grow up, right, your perspective of the years that go by either, I mean, sometimes go from long to short. Like that year went by faster than the one before. I don't even know what happened. Sometimes you go through your week and you're like, it seemed like one blob of a day that entire week. It's going to change, right? And he's trying to say, God is so above and beyond what you think long is, right? Because they're saying, where is he? It's been so long, right? Even people now, 2,000 years, what's the deal? And he goes, 1,000 days is like a day. Oh, that's like 2 days to God. What are you talking about long? 2 days, right? 2,000 years. Okay, going on. But he does this, or he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to keep to repentance, or come to repentance. And he goes, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Sorry, I went too far. As far as that whole repentance part and the patience, this is the thing. The scoffers were like, why hasn't he come yet? And where's your God that you keep putting your hope and trust in? Yet they don't realize that's the very thing that is giving them the opportunity for salvation. You see that? The very thing they make fun of for God for not showing up is the very thing that God has patience for them so that hopefully they would come. Right? It's like the one hand that God reaches out to you, you slap and say, you're not real. That's the very hand he's giving them. The time, the patience. Imagine being God and looking at your creation, right? And you love them and they go, he's not real. What a joke. La, 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 la. He's not going to come. Just imagine the patience. Like, okay, I'm going to give you a little bit longer, you know? Just, and again, in your own life, imagine that patience. It says, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Everything's going to be burned up by fire. And it says, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? What kind of people ought you to be? I mean, can you answer it yourself? What kind of person ought I to be? And usually the answer is, well, I know it's not the person I am right now. For some of us, hey, if sanctification is complete in your life, props. God has, I'm sure, shaped you like Job times 10. But for a lot of us, the person I ought to be isn't the person I am. So, you ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God. And speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Today is all about, are you looking forward to this? See, this is a love-hate. Either you're really looking forward to it, or you're really glad it didn't come yet. What side are you on? You know? We come to church knowing we ought to be this beautiful, spotless bride for the day he comes. Yet we know exactly when we walk in the very things, the very spots. What are we waiting for? We know the very spots in our heart. Yeah, we ought to be holy and godly. What are we waiting for? I pray that through this, and I kind of laid it out like this. Here are the facts. This is what's going to happen. what will you do? Right? If you go from 11 on, he says, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people you ought to live? That day will bring about the destruction. And keeping with his promises, there's all these wills, right? The heavens will disappear with the roar. The elements will be destroyed. And the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. This will happen. But what will you do? Man, I hope it's something. I really do. I hope it's something. Knowing that God is working, knowing how patient he is, knowing what he will do, what will you do? And I pray that, man, if you're convicted by the word, you would act upon it, because it'd be better, and I say this all the time to everyone, it's better off that you didn't hear this word. I'd rather have you run away right now than be convicted of the truth, to hear just his word. And there's a lot of scripture today. Hear his word and not do anything, knowing what he will do. And that's for your sake. I think we're doing a special song, right? The song that I asked, for Jane and Nong to sing and play is Hosanna. And it talks about how you can pop the lyrics up. You can see God coming down on his clouds, how he's ready to come. You can see him coming. And the song's about praise. Like, yes, yes, this is the day I've been waiting for. This is what I've been putting all my hopes on. This is why I could sell all my things, give to the poor, and rejoice on a day like this. And again, or are we stuck in a position where we're glad he didn't come? Or glad he hasn't come yet? And are we living how we ought to live? Are you taking up the opportunity that God himself died, resurrected, and promised for you? And he's been so patient for, right? No joke, how patient. What will you do? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Lord, I pray that we would humble ourselves before you, just knowing you've been patient with us, just knowing how the reason you're taking this time is for others to find you, for their salvation, for our salvation, for our children's salvation. Lord, I pray that we as a church wouldn't lose sight, that we would pursue how we ought to be and how we ought to live, how we ought to be as a bride, how we ought to be as different parts of the body. I pray that when you come back, we'll just be so glad, and that we wouldn't have that bucket list. We would have taken care of it and just been praising you for the patience that you allowed us the time to go through that. Holy Spirit, if there are those hard hearts, knock them down. If there are those who don't know you in your name, I pray that you would speak to them. Humble us so we may be exalted in your name. We may lift you up. You may be glorified. Lord, I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, through this psalm, take the time to meditate. This would do no good. This message would do no good if you didn't take the time to really evaluate how you ought to be and how you ought to live. Right? Where are those spots so that through that, you can, by faith, be righteous. You can say, yeah, hey, if God came right now, I'm ready. I'm glad. Let's go. Let's do this. You know, rapture come. Okay, not the prettiest day, but it'll become the most beautiful day. So take the time. If you know the song, if you want to sing, sing it. And you are welcome to drop to me and just pray.